Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everyone. Chuck Bonneau, Julie Hayden here on a
Wednesday. Yeah.
And we're brought to you by
The True Straight Up. I'm going to tell folks that. We're always hashtag True Straight Up. Brought to you by Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan and AmericasCitizenPress.com. And our newest sponsor, Happy Trees, happytrees.co. Great for any landscaping needs.
In particular, because they're new, I mean, they not any landscaping needs normally.
Trees.
I mean, you know, you have a tree that's died, dead, you need, want some more coverage. I mean, they get the best prices. It's all you can get online. They'll make recommendations, come out, plant it. And they're really a tremendous organization.
Happy.
Just go to happytrees.co.
Exactly. Brian June Depp coming up. He had a good column again in American Thinker about, you know, it's the mental health system, stupid. But between yesterday when I booked him and today, there's so much going on. We've got the feds raising rates, all kinds of stuff. We'll talk to him about that too. But I wanted to read to you guys because this tweet, I thought whoever did it, somebody at my new soul, S-O-W-E-L-L on Twitter. But I thought this is beautiful. Bipartisanship can work, he says.
Okay.
Listen, what if we put an armed drag queen in every school?
Yes.
Send in some retired military, have them wear dresses, get awful haircuts, and carry weapons.
Yeah.
Then everybody's happy, right? You got drag queens in school, you got armed security.
They can do shows in between shootings.
Yeah, it makes total sense. There you go, armed drag queen in every school.
Well, that'd be wonderful.
So the feds raised rates significantly higher than
75 points, which is 0.75 point.
Right. Highest since 1994.
And so what is that going to do? Well, I don't know. It's supposed to cool down the economy. That's always means a recession.
From my understanding, it's kind of like they're like, okay, we're headed for the Titanic, headed under the Biden administration, headed for the giant iceberg.
Uh-huh.
So this Fed interest rate thing is trying to crane us in and out of smaller icebergs in the meantime, hoping to avoid the bigger iceberg. So no matter
it's bad for the stock market because people invest in bonds instead of stocks. It is, in fact, for the housing market because now houses cannot sell for as much because the total cost on a monthly basis has
your
been taken up by
up.
Interest rates and so forth. It's kind of a crude kind of metric, and it works sort of kind of maybe.
We hope. They got to do something. If you're the Biden administration,
they're trying to
do messaging. We're going to get that in a second. The Biden administration is sending three people, their comms people, communications people, up to Congress to say, we got to work on better messaging, people don't notice it. But one thing I wanted to play, this was in American Thinker also, it was a great column and some guy had gone through and put together a montage of Trump predictions before 2020, before the election, right? Saying, here's what's going to happen if you elect Joe Biden. And they're like, oh, Trump just, every single one has come true and worse, right? It's worse.
Well, let's hear it.
So Thomas, if we could please play the Trump was right video.
Office, there's a lot of folks out there making some pretty bold predictions about how things would turn out. You might remember some of the predictions.
They're coming for your guns, they're coming for your jobs, and they're coming for your freedom. They hate American energy, and Joe Biden will shut it all down. He's going to.
If I became president,
Biden's elected, he will wipe out your energy industry.
Another prediction. That is my favorite one, I must add, is that if I got elected,
gas prices going $5, $6, $7 for a gallon, flood your communities with criminal aliens, drugs and crime while they live behind beautiful gated compounds. They try to take away your gun, Second Amendment, they want to take it away, while they enjoy private security that's fully armed.
I never understood that one.
To spend trillions of dollars rebuilding foreign nations, fighting foreign wars, and defending foreign borders.
So for all those predictions of doom and gloom 6 months in, here's where we stand.
Do you want to use the word recession or depression?
Think of the single mom struggling to put food on the table each month.
You know, it's sad.
So if your primary concern right now is inflation.
We could stop it in 30 minutes.
When I took office.
He finally went outside. He went to get an ice cream.
Look, the bottom line is this.
I say you're not doing a very good job.
Because he can't take any questions now from the press.
That's Joe Biden walking away. I mean, it was true, right? When they said 5-6, I mean, does anyone doubt anymore that we're going to see gas prices hit $7 a gallon? It's like, no, I feel that I drive like a Toyota a Camry. And no, a Subaru. I can't even get my car straight.
You have a Subaru.
A Subaru. That's like a million years old. So that's what, because it's worn off. And it cost me almost $90 to fill it the other day. I'm like, and that's with all the discounts that I could find. And it's going to go higher. I think the Conservative Treehouse guys does a great job at kind of explaining some of the economic stuff. And they said, you know, what you have to look at with the producer price index that just recently came out, and that looks at what it's now costing companies to produce
the wholesale
production costs of the stuff that eventually ends up in the stores. And
so it's the retail. So if wholesale's up, retail eventually will be up.
Well, and he was predicting, what he's saying today is, he said you take an average grocery cart that costs $300 today, which, by the way, is up $75. So that's almost a third of what it was a year ago. Okay. And he said, so this $300 grocery cart, enough to have 10 meals or 10 days worth of meals for a family of four. I'm like, where are they shopping? But anyway, that's his thing. He said, based on their analysis of all of the the wholesale price increases that are coming at us, that same $300 basket of groceries basically is going to cost $500 by fall.
Well, now we've got a black lesbian Baghdad Bob as the press corps one, and she was telling him historically we're better, our economy's better off than ever, and people going, she's in Lululand.
Well, yeah, and this is from Sandra on the Trump thing. Good one. And then there are still idiots voting for these dumbass Democrats. Well, and you know they're not actually. That's going to be alarming because we saw what happened in Texas, right? A Republican flipped that seat for like the first time in decades, right?
Right.
The guy Tom Rice, who wanted to impeach Trump, got ousted. So, you know, people are paying attention, and, you know, they can hold their January 6th committee meeting hearing, which they had to try to postpone for reasons unknown. You know, they can send the communications team up to the Hill to try to figure out a better way to message all of this. But people just bottom line are not buying that it's Putin. When you shut down, as Trump said, when you're Biden, you shut down the company's and ability to produce its own energy.
But he's got a great thing where he's threatening to impose, I guess, price controls, in which case the oil companies just won't sell anything in the United States.
Right. They'll say, well, we'll sell it to, you know, I don't know, Germany, I guess, because Russia.
And you can produce more oil. How's that? How do you produce more oil?
Right.
You drill on lousy sites. Is that doing
no,
more
well, Chuck, they can't drill anymore because that's not healthy for the environment and the soccer moms.
Yeah, John Kerry said that.
So. Right. So, I mean, you shut off oil and gas drilling. You
shut down pipelines.
Put so many regulations in place that companies are like, it's not worth their while to do any more oil drilling here. And then sooner or later, prices rise, right? Not only price. I mean, they raise across the board. They raise.
But somebody won't tell Joe. If they impose price controls of some sort, they just won't sell in the United States at all.
Right.
They'll sell it in Mexico or anywhere else. I mean, it's a wonderful presidency, and he's getting more and more crabby as he gets older. I mean, he screams at the AFL-CIO convention. Not sure who he's screaming at, but
it's been rough for him, Chuck. His approval rating is down. It's worse than Trump's, for God's sakes. It's worse than Jimmy Carter's.
Yeah.
And, but you know, the thing is that I keep come to the conclusion, you know, in the past few months is it's on purpose, right? They know what to do to solve this. As Trump said, we could solve this in 30 seconds, right? They know know what to do. They deliberately are not solving it because they want to ram through their globalist Green New Deal. The globalist elitists are like happy. As you said, they're fine. They aren't suffering at all. You know, they're flying their private jets. And if you're a billionaire, it doesn't make much difference. So, you know,
$5 gas, $6 gas.
$7 gas. You don't even know because your chauffeur is paying it, right? Yeah. And your accountant is handling all the bills. So there's the real solution. They leaked it accidentally the other day when former EPA director Gina McCarthy was talking and saying people don't understand.
She's their national climate czar. And I'm not sure what Kerry is. I thought he was the climate czar. But anyway, they got lots of them.
You need more than one. I mean, the climate is a big place. Yeah. There are a lot of climate stuff going on. And so she let loose. And the real secret is now, if you, and I mark my words, if you now start to criticize, if you criticize COVID, you are banned from YouTube and you were censored. If you, you know, criticized anything, you know, the election, boom, you were banned and you were ostracized. You were called a conspiracy theorist. And the Denver Post would still talk about you talking about baseless, debunked election theories, right? So they're going to do the same thing with the economy. They're going to do the same thing with inflation. They want to ban people rather than fix the problem. What their whole thing is we don't have any solutions because this is what we want to have happen. So we just have to change the messaging and they're going to start censoring that. So if we could please play, Thomas, the censorship soundbite with a climate czar, Gina McCarthy.
So the challenge is now that we're moving from denial to actually just trying to disengage the public from understanding the values of solar energy, the values of wind energy, the benefits of clean energy. We have to get tighter. We have to get better at communicating. And frankly, the tech companies have to stop allowing specific individuals over and over again to spread disinformation. That's what the fossil fuel companies pay for. That's what folks who make money out of fossil fuels and don't make money and don't care about saving consumers' costs. That's what they do. We have to be smarter than that, and we need the tech companies to really jump in. You know, we've had a lot of NGOs working on these issues, and it's been terrific. The Climate Action Campaign has been working on pushing back on this disinformation. And Friends of the Earth has done a great job and continuing to do a great job at basically looking at where this money is coming from, how it's trying to fool folks. And what we see now is that climate denial is not working because people can see that the problems out there.
Yeah, they can see the problems out there. And it's not climate denial that's not working. It's inflation denial. What on earth is she talking about? I mean, did you hear a word? She said, we have to stop allowing people to spread specific individuals to spread disinformation. And that she's implying that somehow or another, if you notice that your gas prices are higher, if you notice that your grocery prices are higher, if you notice that you can't find baby food formula or feminine hygiene products, that is disinformation. It's not true. And you're being paid by the oil companies to say that.
And you've just got to get on this bandwagon. Right. You've got to, you know, praise your solar panels. I mean, if you have a neighbor has some solar panels, go over and thank them. I mean,
And did you hear her stop herself? They're the people, they're not making money off of solar panels. And then she started to say, you know, the people making money. And she's like, oh, wait a minute. Because the people making money off of solar panels have every dog in this fight, right? And the underlying problem is the solar panels don't, you need energy, you need batteries to sort. I mean, if the infrastructure was there, people would be accepting it. The trouble is the infrastructure is not there. That's why people aren't buying electric cars.
They cost $50,000-$60,000.
Well, there's that, number one. But that's just say you buy one. Okay, so now you don't have to buy gas, but your electric bill has doubled. What is it? I think like 75% over the past year. Right. So now, I mean, so you're paying, you know, you're paying one way or the other, and they don't care. They pretend
the Friends of the Earth are doing a good job out there.
Yeah. And I thought, we have to stop allowing people. We have to stop allowing people to put out information, to put out opinions, to put
out.
And
the tech companies have to do their job, right? Do their share by censoring all these people. And then, you know, Would you know that the wholesale price of gas is going up without them telling you? No,
you would have no clue. You would just be like, And you got some great comments here. You mean Leonardo DiCaprio wasn't on the street corner with a sign black for gas? This from Jim. U.S. production is down 2 million barrels per day since January of 2020. Since 1976, renewable energy has taken over 4% of our energy production with billions in subsidies. From Dr. Donna, will they blame the Easter Bunny next? Dr. Donna, we cannot have an Easter Bunny because that involves God and religion. I think I saw the Easter... I think I saw the Easter Bunny at the White House this Easter, so not be too hard to locate. Well, the Easter Bunny is keeping track of Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And Dr. Donna has anywhere from Sandra. Where in the hell do the commie left Democrats get these old, ugly women that literally have no common sense and look like old men and are out of touch with reality? They're flooded with them, right? Those are, I don't know what, white wine, was it the wine soccer mom, white women? That's what happens when they get older. Has anyone seen how badly mining for raw materials for batteries is? Well, exactly. And it's not even in this country, right? China, I think, controls all of the. Yeah. So, I mean, it is all just nonsense. And it has nothing to do with the climate, has nothing to do with Earth. It has everything to do with people, elites, who have invested in these companies wanting to make money. Then they want to pay themselves for investing in these companies. And they want to tell the rest of us how to live. I was reading a great thread on this. Bill Gates, right, who now says cows are evil and meat is evil. No one should eat meat, right? Coincidentally, has bought up a massive amount of farmland where, guess what? He's going to end up getting paid to produce the plants that we're going to be making meat, fake meat out of. It's like, well, I wonder how that works. I mean, that's brilliant. Invest in a bunch of stuff, then get everybody to try, get rid of the competition, right? By trying to make it evil. And they're doing it. Like I said, that bite should scare us all. We have to stop allowing people to talk about this, right? As if somehow they don't notice. And she said, they're denying it. It's like, no, we're not denying.
Disinformation.
Yeah, they're the climate deniers or the inflation deniers.
Inflation deniers. It's a wonderful new world. And the one thing that I wish we'd had a thing of is the ladies of the View, one of the, you know, their one crypto semi-conservative saying, you know, the Democrats are going to lose in the upcoming. How do you know that? Why don't you let the people vote rather than telling them how to vote? So I just want to, you know, I hope they have non-Trump in. They're nice Democrats. Don't tell us that. Get off this program. Well, we'll get Ginny McCarthy to come over and box your head off. She's a tough one.
Yeah. They're becoming desperate, but I think it is not something we should, it's funny, but it's not funny. They're decisions to start controlling the messaging. And all that means is censorship. Controlling the messaging means censorship. And again, they're not, as Donald Trump said, Joe Biden could fix this in a second, right?
Well, another thing they can do, they can just cover up the prices.
Oh, that would be a thing. So people just don't know.
Yeah. So look, we're going to charge you your card. We're not going to tell you how much it is. And
it'd be a surprise.
Yeah.
Well, again, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with they want to subsidize, you know, they want to federalize it. If you can start controlling the prices on oil companies, then you might as well take over the oil companies. And that worked out really well in Venezuela.
Yeah, and Mexico.
And Mexico worked well. So but that's what they want. Again, keep in mind, it's not as if it's worse than that. It's just incompetent. Right? The worst reality is this is what they want to have happen. The whole drag queen stuff, all of this, they want to separate.
I like that. I like.
Yeah. They have fully armed drag queens in. I mean, they want to destroy the country. I mean, Donald Trump is right, you know, and again, get rid of the Second Amendment. Well, they have full protection themselves with armed security guards. And then if you complain about it, well, then they're going to censor you.
They'll do like the Denver Post. They'll take one of their armed security guards to kill you.
Yeah. Channel 9.
Channel 9. Right.
You want to talk, what we could talk a little bit about though, the primaries. I mean, do you think, so the House, a Republican woman taking, and a largely Hispanic community or a 54%. Precinct, right, beating the Democrat.
It is both not as big and as big as anything. One, the Republicans poured lots of money and the Democrats did not because the district is basically going away. It goes from a +4 Biden district to a +15. And the DCCC has lots of problems, so they didn't want to play here. But still, she won by 7 points, and it's a I mean, the Democrats, they lose the Hispanic vote. They are in real trouble, real trouble.
And then the other one, the Rice, who voted to impeach the president, getting beat also. Yes. I think that tells you right there how much people care about the trumped up charges against Trump on the election issue.
Well, the one that went the other way is Nancy Mace, who's just a hideous human being, won hers with big support from Nikki Haley. But once again, South Carolina is no different than Georgia, no different than Colorado, no different than Wyoming. To one extent or the other, they allow unaffiliates and or Democrats to vote in the Republican primaries. And they never want to close them. Here, there is an absolute, absolute fear that people, there was advertising done by Democrats for very conservative Republicans, and they're terrified. Every day, I get a new Rhino Republican, establishment Republican, tell me, oh, my God, we got to stop this. I think I got one from Bill Owens yesterday, the day before, Hank Brown. And, God, who are some of the other? Oh, yeah, Ken Buck. Oh, Ken Buck told me, oh, no, yeah. And then we get all the people like Ross Putin, who's a radio host for, what's it, KOA or yeah. One of them. And he gave his list of rhinos you could vote for. He added in Lauren Boebert just to fool people. and it's just kind of pathetic. You know, you got to vote for Pam Anderson. Oh, we have to. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought we were supposed to tell people how they have to vote for. Well, you know, again, don't be fooled. And I think this is from Jimmy said, you know, Julie, you're right. And all of their comments about everything you said, you hear veiled reference toward nationalizing energy in all of their presentations. They're planting that idea. Well, exactly. That's why they have all these NGOs. How hard is it to go? So maybe you have an NGO that runs things, which is actually the government running things anyway. I think you're right. Everything, as Mark Poffa said, is shifted towards nationalizing everything. And
that's
again,
the only
solution
to everything. You know, but it is interesting that all the panic that's happening establishment. What do you mean? What do you mean? I mean, people will actually learn that those people are very conservative. They might vote for them. Oh, no. And I just read the Sun article on CD8, and it was just usual. Oh, no, we can have these.
Well, we're talking.
No, Lori's saying we got to have somebody who can appeal to an affiliate.
And I want to talk about, so we're talking about in CD8, right? The establishment Republicans are freaking out because there are Democrat ads running, pushing Lori Sane, because they consider, for whatever reason, Lori, well, I know why, but they consider Lori Sane the more conservative of the Republican candidates.
Actually, they are not supporting Lori Sane. There are some that are supporting Greg Lopez and some Ron
okay,
Hanks.
But let me,
there's Republicans ones against Lori saying she's too conservative. In that case, they mean it.
But here's what I want. This where I was going with that. It's despite of the fact that I started out with disinformation.
Disinformation.
But they say the establishment Republicans that Lori Sane is basically too conservative to be elected, and yet
in a general election,
but her Democrat candidate
is way off
way off the charts in terms of progressive. Right? Way off the charts. It's like, you know, Brittany Patterson, the fentanyl drug queen on like steroids, right? And so somehow or another, all of these pundits think, these extremely progressive Democrat ideas and agendas have been thrown out all over the country and other places. Somehow in Colorado, they think that the unaffiliated voter and having to choose between a very conservative person and an extremely progressive person is going to automatically go with the progressive person because what? Lori Sane likes Donald Trump? It's like, no. I mean, they're mistaken about that.
Well, they don't really care. It's the same one that they, you know, they've been running for 30 years, 40 years. No, we must get more electable people. And if they do it nationally, you got to have John McCain. You know, if we just had a John McCain, he would do great. Yeah, well, not so well, Mitt Romney, you know, and we can't elect. You can't nominate somebody like Donald Trump because he could never win a presidential election.
Oh, maybe could. Well, yeah. And I submit, again, that I think the conservative treehouse has it right. In states like South Carolina and Colorado, where you have the open primaries, that works for the Democrats. That's why they came up with the idea, so they can meddle in the election. But it also works for the establishment Republicans, whether they're in Colorado or other places, because they don't actually care who wins. They just care that they maintain their power and their little clickiness and their clubbiness and that they remain in in charge, and they're the ones who get quoted and get on TV. The fact that Colorado hasn't won a statewide race in forever under their policies, they don't care about that, right? They don't say, well, maybe we should try a conservative person. I don't know. These milquetoast candidates don't seem, maybe we should support Greg Lopez, you know, but they don't do that. Nothing to do with electability, everything to do with power, I think.
Well, that's all there is.
Well, there's a right
money
thing to
and
do.
Power, that's and that, right. And that's it. What you see? What's this one on Barbara Kirkmeyer? My eyes can't see.
Have you heard of Barbara Kirkmeyer? This is from Sandra, latest radio ad, really similar to Lamborn's ad against Dave Williams. If I were Lori Sane, I'd sue her ass. I think that's fun that Dave Williams is saying there is a law that says it's against the law. It's a crime to, to actually put something false in an ad. Can't hurt to try.
Well, it's unconstitutional.
Christy Burton Brown, we're going to do more on this on Friday. Christy Burton Brown is doing that because there is an ad out there by, I think, Dem Dark Money, right? Uh-huh. Saying that the GOP party supports Ron Hanks. Now, she couches it well, saying, you know, technically we can't support anybody, unless, of course, there are Tina Peters and Pam Anderson in that race we can meddle. But that's kind of funny that they're doing that. Hey, I see Brian joined up this year. Before we go to him, I want to just, I don't know if I want to call this a correction or a point of information. So on our last show, we had somebody commented, they indicate that they thought that there was some money, Democrat money, being spent in CD7 for Colorado's future. And somebody contacted us, somebody very nice, and said, no, it's not Democrat money. It's just money supporting Eric Bodlin. So I just wanted to get out there and clear the air. And I think Laurel Eimer's comment that, you know, when you're deciding who to vote for, it's a very good idea to do a little bit of your own research on stuff. So you can, you know, don't rely on me, don't rely on other people, rely on Chuck, you know. But do your own research, because it is important, I think, to follow the money.
All right. Well, we've got Dr. Brian Junedepth with us, one of our favorites.
Hey,
how's it going?
It's good. Nice day out there.
Isn't it nice? I saw you've been doing some fishing and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to have some fun. So.
Ooh, I'm not sure.
I don't know if that's allowed.
Yeah, exactly. We wanted to have you on. We want to talk to you about some of the current events. I mentioned at the top of the show, there's so much going on between the time we booked you and today, all kinds of new national developments. But you had, I thought, a great article in American Thinker. It's the mental health system, stupid. And why don't you explain what you meant with that?
Well, there are two very big problems that face the country. One is, you know, crime and violence, mass shootings, that category. The other is homelessness. Not out in rural America, but certainly in Denver, if anybody's driven around,
right,
even the suburbs, and other large cities. And the solutions proposed by government officials are simply Band-Aids on this festering sore. They want to ban scary-looking weapons, magazine capacity, how old you can be to purchase a firearm, things that don't matter. And with homelessness, they just sweep them up and move them to the suburbs, or take the camp and move it somewhere else. It's rearranging the deck chairs on a Titanic. It's not solving the problem. And a common thread to both of these things is mental health. And that's something that, yeah, may get some talk and people raise the issue, but where is the effort to identify and treat and take care of these people?
Right.
Why is it happening, and why are we not doing anything about it? When you look at the statistics, the number of high percentage of mass shooters have undiagnosed or untreated mental illness. Vast majority of the homeless, mental illness and or substance abuse. And unless we treat kind of root issues of these things, so what? You know, you give them methadone and they're kind of addicted to something else, or you just move them around. The problem doesn't go away.
No. Well, it's interesting. You know, I grew up around New York. And back then, you know, it's a rite of ritual, particularly with my Jewish friends, that you go into psychoanalysis starting at about 15. and certainly all adults were going under psychoanalysis, which has proved to have been more or less worthless. I mean, you know, it, you get to talk about yourself, but, you know, the id.
Just someone will actually listen.
Yeah. Yes, and, you pay somebody to listen to you.
And I had a couple of friends who upon reaching 18, 19, you know, came up with schizophrenia. One came back from college and took a rifle, went back to his house in a big house, big roof, and started picking off people, but he only winged them. And so they took him down, and he's since been in an institution. The other one, my second cousin, slaughtered I don't know how many women in France.
He didn't tell me this before we were married, by the way.
They never do.
And his parents got him back home, and so then they came home one day, and he'd taken a poker and smashed to pieces his mother's head. And he's in the institution in Maryland for the criminally insane. But psychiatry today is basically pill pushing. I mean, right. Somebody comes in and they hand you, if you're bipolar, various drugs for that. If you're schizophrenic, Thorazine and some of the others. The problem is Thorazine makes life not very enjoyable for those who take it. They feel total. So they stop taking it, and then God knows what they do to people.
Right.
But they've deinstitutionalized the insane asylums, the bedlams. And instead we have to face all the people on the street.
And their bus or on the RTD.
Yeah. I mean, it's just there, you know, there is no psychiatrist. Nobody believes you talk through your problems. I mean, it used to be you'd go see your priest or something, and now maybe you can pay somebody to listen to you whine about how your parents screwed you up. But it's there is no psychiatric one. It's, they give out pills, but they don't institutionalize anybody. They just put them on the streets. And that's our system today.
That's a big problem. And, you know, what I learned way back in medical school was the meds get you to a point where psychotherapy can have a benefit. If you're...
Psychotherapy doesn't do you any good.
It depends on the situation.
But it's if you're severely depressed, if you're psychotic, then you know psychotherapy's worthless at that point. The medicine get you to a point where you can potentially be helped. Can everybody be helped? No, but a big part of it is staying on medication and
here's what I think.
You know, learning new behaviors. It's not figuring out your rotten childhood or what was done to you. It's learning coping behaviors and how you can deal with triggers or modify your reactions to things and hopefully shortcut going down the rabbit hole. But
one thing I remember covering, I've been long saying this, not that the totally severe kind of it problems, mental health problems that Chuck was talking about, but let me just finish. Many years ago, there was a case in Westminster where a kid had gotten a fight with his parents, and he went over to his aunt's and uncle's house to stay, and they noticed that he had a shotgun, and he mentioned that he was going to shoot the president. Or no, he was going to go shoot up a Halloween party at a school, right? So what they did is they called his parents, they said, we're at wit's end, we don't know what to do. They called the therapist, and the therapist called the police, and the police came and they put him in an institution or in a mental health treatment. And to make a long story short, what happened is they stopped what could have very well been a school shooting, but he had to go through the criminal process, right? There had to be. And so I've long said there has to be something in between being able to go ahead and call and say, hey, look, my kid is talking about this bad behavior, potentially bad behavior, but there has to be somebody to call besides the police. Or if you call the police, that we don't put him in jail because that does nothing, or a mental health hold for 48 hours. There has to be something in between criminalizing mental health issues and completely and doing nothing about them. Right. I mean, same thing. The poor frontline cops get called on things that are really psychiatric situations, and then they turn into a hostage situation or a barricade situation.
Or they shoot somebody.
Or something happens, and there isn't anyone else to call. And the problem is, I think, Brian, it's, you know, there's not a 5-second, 3-point PowerPoint solution for every single case. So we just, and I think
all these cases are different, they're complicated, and I'm not going to sit here as an expert and say I know the answer, but I know that there's a problem and we're not addressing it. And you know, smart people that do this for a living all day long should have some ideas of how to approach this. And, you know, you see all the money our federal government is sending to Ukraine and pissing away on nonsense. And we've got these problems in our own backyard that are just not being addressed. And it's not throw everybody in an institution and lock the door, throw away the key. There are ways to treat people. And we did that decades ago in 50s, 60s, and I guess it was the 70s that was deemed cruel and unusual and mean, and everybody was let out and fend for yourself on the street because it's mean to keep people hospitalized or institutionalized if they're a threat to themselves or others.
Well, if you're talking about the people who think about this all the time, they are in the psychiatric associations. And if you've ever been around people who are psychiatrists, they became psychiatrists because they have severe concerns themselves.
Chuck is not a big psychiatric fan.
I mean,
that's part of the problem.
But they, you know, they're thinking of it all day long, but what they're coming up with is insane in and of itself.
You know, it's big pharma. It's much like the COVID response. It's, you know, where's the money? Follow the money, and let's come up with a new antidepressant or new antipsychotic that has the side effect profiles are better. I remember Thorazine, Meloril, those drugs, because they caused eye problems, and we used to see people that were institutionalized and on these drugs for 20 years, and they, you know, burned out their retinas and they couldn't see. No, that's no good either. So it's better medicine.
That's not a recommendation.
I know, and I think there are multiple.
But it's a multifactorial approach, and just to ignore it, and you know, ban a certain type of firearm, and that's going to solve it. No, it's not, because the people that want to get these will get these. That's a separate discussion. But there's no emphasis on root causes, and at least thinking about those things. Hickenlooper had a plan to end homelessness, and you know, when he was mayor, well, then he's governor for 8 years. Now he's a senator, and homelessness.
Yeah, but he said that was just a PR thing.
Right.
He knew. and it's plagiarized anyway from Philadelphia. So
everything from a politician's mouth is PR. Yeah. So,
exactly. Well, you know, and I would say that some of it starts with look what we're doing to our kids now, where.
Give them some hormone blockers.
That's
going to help them.
That'll do it.
Yeah, get them some puberty blockers.
That's going to make a whole generation of crazy kids. But
yeah.
Well, I think, you know, we teach kids that somehow they're the center of the universe. I mean, I remember when I grew up, I guarantee you, I was the oldest of five. None of us were taught that we all thought we were the center of the universe, but it was pretty quickly a notion my parents worked hard to dispel. And I think there's got to be a balance between helping people with self-esteem and helping them feel good about themselves, and yet making them think that somehow everything should always be perfect and happy. And, you know, what's that Lego song? Everything is awesome, right? I mean, everything is awesome.
Participation trophy.
Right.
When I was in Little League, if you were on the team that won the championship, you got a trophy. If you weren't, you didn't.
Right.
You didn't get anything for participating. You got to go to the end of season dinner.
Right.
That was your participation.
And you were okay with that, right? I mean, you grew up just fine. You didn't become a mass shooter that we know of. And
you want the trophy or medal, you have to perform. And that's how it is.
And
it's, you know, unfortunate if you can't win, but that motivates you to win. I mean, how many Olympians get medals? You know, 3 on the stand and 80 that are, you know, on their way home.
Right. And I think that some of it even, I mean, it's, I think that that's, you know, plays. And as you said, there was a time when you could talk to your priest or your pastor or your minister. There was a time, you know, when I think families were empowered to take care of their children and to look after their children, as opposed to being branded as domestic terrorists who have no business being involved in how their kids are being raised. I mean, and I think the Democrats, we were talking about this earlier, let me get your thoughts. They're doing it on purpose. I think they want to be destroying things. They could fix some of them. And I think, and they deliberately, intentionally choose to not, because they'd rather have the problems.
On my mother's side of the family, which was much more rural, they had tobacco farms and all that. I can still remember my great aunt, who his place of interment was the attic, and she didn't get out.
She didn't tell me this either before he got married.
She didn't get out. She was up there. She got fed, but she did not get out.
Crazy aunt in the attic. Yeah.
And the attic. Chuck's family for dealing with mental health issues. Put him in the attic.
No, well, a lot they're doing to kids with inappropriate expectations, and you know, boys that act like boys are getting put on Adderall and other ADHD. Mm-hmm. You probably see that with your son and his peers, and you know, boy wants to be a boy, and they're somehow abnormal because they want to run around and they're fidgety and they can't sit still. Well, most of us grew out of that.
Right. Yes, some did. What about
Chuck didn't, but you know.
Let me turn to a little bit more current events. I mean, your thoughts on so we were talking again earlier in the show, the Fed's raised the rate substantially. Biden is demanding the oil. He's going to go to Saudi Arabia and beg for more oil. And then in the meantime,
he's threatening
the oil companies here to take over.
There is more.
His climate czar Gina McCarthy says that the big tech companies have to stop allowing people to criticize and complain about inflation because that's just the price we pay to save the globe. What your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, that sounds very Soviet, you know, just shut up and don't complain. If you do, you're going to go to the gulag.
Right.
Price controls will not work. Good luck with that. You're going to just throw gasoline on a fire and make things a lot worse. Biden basically promised and followed through to shut down the petroleum industry in this country. Under Trump, we were a net exporter. We were energy independent, and he reversed all that. And now we're going begging hand in hat to the Saudis to bail us out for what we deliberately did to ourselves. And why would the oil companies want to play along? They've been vilified and castigated by Biden and told their business is done. But Biden has said as much, that we're going to be free of fossil fuels. Well, if you're on the board of Exxon or Shell, you're being told that your business is obsolete. So why would you want to play along, do anything they say? They're just going to move.
Well, and I think the problem is a big problem that the Democrats seem to just keep ignoring is that's great if you want to make fossil fuels obsolete, but you have to have in the meantime something to take its place. And if we don't have something
it's called a cold winter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And a hot summer.
Yeah.
No, it's foolish. We got the electric vehicles are 4 or 5% of the market now. And what happens with rolling brownouts and blackouts in California? Newsom already said, you're not going to be able to charge your car. Well, great. So if you have an electric vehicle and you need to go to work, how are you going to charge it? And how are you going to get to work if there's
Senator Kennedy's idea of just let the free market handle it with cocaine distribution and everybody have enough energy to run around.
Man, with fentanyl.
Yeah, well, free market. What a concept. You know, the EVs are all subsidized and you know, just like solar panels and wind farms, all these things, there's a lot of taxpayer money going. Yeah, I mean, it's a first step in the right direction, but does anybody believe 200 years from now we're going to have the same energy sources we do now, or 100 years from now? Of course not. You know, look at your iPhone and personal computer and think back 100 years. That was nobody could even conceptualize something like that.
Right. So, well, I still say airplanes are one of my big things. It's like, okay, I'm willing to get in an electric vehicle that may lose its charge, right?
But if you're
on a plane.
Fly from here to Australia in an electric plane. Good luck.
You still have to produce the electricity.
Right.
And so how do you get that energy to produce it? Well, there's coal do it.
Idiots think, you got an EV, you can drive by the gas station, go home, plug your car in, and it gets charged. Well, where does the electricity come from?
Right.
Does it grow on a tree? Unless you happen to have a very good solar panel array on your roof and you can be self-sufficient, but at night the sun isn't shining, so it's kind of hard to charge your battery with a solar panel at night unless you have a big battery at your house. And what's the environmental impact on these batteries? What does it take to make the lithium battery that goes in a Tesla? How much ground has to be disturbed, and child labor in the Congo, and all these things? Nobody looks at that.
I had a friend call me the other day, and she goes, you guys need to do a show on this. She was trying to get solar panels for, she has a house, right? And she wanted, and the way they do it apparently is they kind of base it on what your electrical usage is at that moment. And she said, okay, that's great, but I want to have more than that because she said, well, she had just some other reasons she wanted, in case she added, made additions and things like that. And they're like, no, you're only allowed X amount of solar energy that you can use. And then if you use more than that, well, then you have to go back on the electric grid. And she's like, well, I thought the point was to get us off. And she goes, well, can't I? I'm willing to pay for it, right? I'll pay for it because she wanted to get it and to keep it and store it in the battery. And they're like, nope. And she was like, what's the point of that? And she said, the guy was like, I don't know, but you just can't. So even there, it's completely screwed up.
Well, it's just like mental health. they do everything that doesn't work, and things that might help, they ignore. Just let the market take care of itself. It's fine if 5% of vehicles are electric. This is new territory for the world and for America. Figure it out. They're smart people. And if there's a free market at work, there's going to be a lot of money to be made. And whoever figures out a more efficient battery or energy production right. will be quite wealthy.
Right.
And
well, somebody, then they'll turn into the Tesla owner, and he might vote Republican. We're going to have that.
Hey, yeah, he voted for the Republican in Texas. I didn't know he lived down there.
Hey,
yeah.
Speaking of that, let me get, we're kind of all over the place, if that's okay. Sure. But your thoughts on the Texas race there, the one where the woman, the young Republican beat the Democrat in a seat that had been held by Democrats for decades. Is that a forewarning, I guess, if you're a Democrat? Or what do you make of that? Or who knows?
I would think so, because, okay. you know, inflation is not racist and doesn't only affect certain skin colors and ethnic groups. It affects everybody. And the Hispanics down there, when they go into the store to buy groceries or fill up their car, they're paying just as much as we are, and they're affected by it and they're annoyed by it. And if they're paying any attention to the news, they know who's pushing this and they're voting accordingly. And you know, for the Democrats, it's racist on their part to assume that an ethnic group is going to vote for them just because of skin color or ethnicity.
Right.
You know, a black conservative is like betraying the cause. Well, what cause?
Every day, they're
using their head.
Every day, I get emails from trusted Republicans. Like,
we're not trusted Republicans. You're not a trusted Republican.
No.
It's either from Ken Buck or Hank Brown or Bill Owens or who knows what establishment Republican saying we must vote for establishment Republicans. We must vote for Joe O'Day. We cannot do anything but vote for Joe O'Day and Pam Anderson, who's really a Democrat, but we love her. And every other half-assed establishment won. And I must admit it's sort of hilarious because the Denver Post, the Independence Institute, all the ones that are controlled by Ann Schutz are telling us we must vote for the establishment people.
How's that worked out?
Have they convinced you? Are you gonna vote for do the right thing and vote for Republicans who appeal to unaffiliates?
Yeah, I moved here 20 years ago, and this was a red state. You had a Republican governor and two Republican senators, and most members of Congress were Republican, and legislature. And now we're California. You know, you've got Democrat state legislature, and most of the reps are Democrats. Senators are governor. That's not going to change. What have the Republicans done? Look at the candidates they've run over the recent cycles for, you know, whether it's U.S. Senate or governor. You know that very well. I don't have to belabor the point. You know how that's worked out.
They need to read your mental health column. Some of that.
Yeah, I mean that's called insanity. Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, and that's what they do. Yeah, let's vote for the establishment candidate. We need a Bob Dole, a Mitt Romney, a John McCain. That'll show them.
That'll show them, yeah, if they win.
That's worked out very well.
Look, very well.
That's right, because we're in a great place right now. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, before we let you go, what are you working on? And I know American Thinker, you publish stuff there all the time. Working on
I write for American Thinker, Rasmussen Reports, and The Villager, which is the local Arapahoe County paper. Mental health was the last one. I need to put something together, so I'm up for ideas. I'm tired of writing about COVID. I don't know. Probably inflation.
Why don't I put your aunt in the attic?
No.
And give her there.
Inflation's the hot topic, and just what I think is going to be a economic apocalypse. I think this is worse. Inflation is being underreported because there's advantage for the government to underreport it because the CPI dictates benefit payments, and that's, you know, it would explode the budget if the CPI was 20 instead of 8.5 or whatever it is.
Yes.
But it's real, and people can't afford things, and there's trickle down because if people are having to spend their disposable income on food and gas, and those prices have doubled, they're not going to be going on vacation. They're not going to be buying cars. They're not going to be visiting restaurants. A lot of these things are just going to stop happening because people won't be able to afford it. And, you know, wage inflation pushes people into a higher tax bracket, which doesn't help them. And there's no help on the horizon. Everything the administration is doing is going to make it worse. There's no sensible stuff. The only way you're going to get a handle on it is when interest rates get above the inflation rate, and that's going to be pretty darn high. And good luck with credit cards. You know, in Jimmy Carter days, not that many people had credit cards. Not like now. You know, mortgage was a lot less.
We have usury rates.
Pardon?
Yeah, really. They have to have all the pawn shops go back in business. And well, yeah, and then that's not even talk about. I get another thing with my 401k, and I'm like, I'm just not even going to look at that because I mean, can I end up owing them money? I mean, exactly. It's bad. All right. Well, listen. Thank you for your time, Doctor. We appreciate.
Hey, my pleasure. Always fun. And you guys have a good rest of the week.
All right. You too, sir. You too. Don't go to the grocery store. Oh, here's from Sandra. I wish I'd known that. Oh no, Dr. June Depp, by the way, has not retired. If somebody was asking, has he retired?
No,
he's taking. I think he's having a life. But he hasn't.
Yes, I'm working a little bit less. I'm not. I haven't retired yet.
A word from them.
Okay, that'll do it. On Friday, I think we want to go ahead and tackle. Thank you to Brian, by the way. We want to go ahead and tackle some of this stuff going on, the Christy Burton Brown filing criminal charges, and I just am going to say sort of the establishment Republicans in Colorado and other states reaping what they sowed with the open primaries, and it's Party Friday too. So we'll
Party
try-
Friday. And I'm going to try to get Dick Wadhams on just to piss everybody off.
could go bad. All right, we'll see. Anyway, hey, that'll do it for us. Thank you to everyone on Zoom. ChuckandJulie.com is a place to go for all of the shows. Thank you to the great guys at BBS. And we will see everybody on Party Friday.
Take care, everybody. We'll bring you some very fun people Friday. Bye-bye.